Hello, folks. You can be turning to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 28 this morning, Acts 28. We've been in a series, The Last Days of the Apostle Paul. We're going to talk about that again today, and we come to Acts chapter 28 this morning. The verses that I want to read are the last two verses found in the book of Acts, and so we'll read those this morning, Acts 28. And verse 30 and 31. Then Paul dwelt two whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. This morning I want to talk to you about God's providence in your life. I believe in the providence of God. Now there's two ways that God works in the world today. One way that God works is through miracles. I do believe in miracles. I believe miracles happen in the Bible. And I believe that miracles happen today. But there's also another way that God works in your life and my life, and that is through what the Bible calls providence. The circumstances of life. The events of life, the things that happen. And so what we are given the assurance of from the Bible, though, is this, that God is sovereign and God is in control. We've been talking about the Apostle Paul here for some weeks now. And so now we come to really the last years, the last days of his life. If you remember, he finally made it to an island called Malta. They shipwrecked there, and so this chapter in the book of Acts, this last chapter, begins with what happened when they came to that island of Malta. The people who lived there on the island showed them favor. They showed them friendliness. They took care of them. There's an interesting story, though, in this chapter. The Bible talks about how Paul was going to build a fire for 257 people. Now, that's a pretty big bonfire if you're going to build a fire to keep that many people warm. And he was reaching in, I guess, some bushes or something, getting some sticks, and a poisonous snake bit him. And he just shook it off. And so the people that lived there on the island, they thought, well, this guy, you know, he's done something really bad because this poisonous snake has bitten him and he's going to die. But you know what? He didn't die. I mean, it didn't bother him. Now, let me say this. If you get bitten by a poisonous snake, call 911, okay? Don't do like Paul. I mean, you can't, that's not where we are today. And so the point I'm talking about here is that more often than not, what God does in your life and my life is to work through his providence, his control, his sovereignty. That is how God works. We've been trying to get Paul to Rome for some time now. Paul stayed on Malta for about 3 months. They left Malta. And they came into Syracuse, Sicily. So they landed there. They spent some time there in Syracuse, Sicily. And then the Bible tells us they finally made it to the port of Rome. And so when they made it to the port of Rome, they got on what is called the Appian Way. The port of Rome was a main port in Italy for that day. That's where all the grain came in from Egypt, and so it was very important for Rome and for Italy and for that part of the world that they would get grain from Egypt to feed everybody. So that's where they finally landed. Paul started his journey to Rome on what is known as the Appian Way. And on that way, the Bible tells us in this chapter that about 45 miles from the city of Rome, that there was a group of believing Christians who came to just settle along the side of the road, and they waited for the Apostle Paul, and the Bible tells us that Paul met them and they walked with him into the city of Rome. If you look at it in verse 15 here in the chapter, and from there, when the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us as far as Appian Forum. And these ends, when Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. And verse 16 says this, that Then, now, we came to Rome. This would be 60 to 62 A.D. The Bible tells us Paul was in a rented house. In other words, he was under house arrest. This was his first imprisonment in Rome. He was under house arrest for about 2 years. And then at the end of 2 years, what we assume is this, that they could bring no charges against Paul. So basically what happened was they released him. From about 63 to 67 A.D., Paul spent doing missionary work. Many people feel like that he went to Spain during that time. And then the last 2 years of his life was his second imprisonment in Rome. And that was far different than what we're talking about here today. When he was there, he was placed in the maritime prison. If you ever make a journey to Rome today, you can see the maritime prison. It's a very dark place, a dungeonous place. It's a place where you're chained to a guard 24 hours a day. It's a very bad place to be. And then eventually what happened was Paul was beheaded in the city of Rome. So that kind of gives you the background and setting of where we are here today. When you look at these verses, though, you think, well, does this really how the book of Acts ends? Because really it's open-ended. He came here, the Bible says he spent 2 years and under house arrest in this rented house, and you know there's no end to it. Why do you suppose it's that way? Because the gospel of Jesus Christ and the work of the church of Jesus Christ and your work as a believer is a never-ending story. It is a story that we continue today. It is a story that the church continues today in preaching the gospel and reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. When Paul was in prison those 2 years, you know what he did? He didn't sit around in that prison and just twiddle his thumbs. Here's what happened. He wrote the book of Ephesians. He wrote the book of Colossians. He gave us the book of Philippians. And he also gave us the book of Philemon during those first 2 years. On his missionary journey between his first imprisonment and his second imprisonment, you know what he did? He wrote the book of 1 Timothy and also wrote the book of Titus. During his last 2 years of life on this earth, he wrote the book of 2 Timothy. And so Paul was busy. Now, here's what I want to do. What I want to do this morning is to share with you the principles that I take from this story. There's all kinds of principles that we can see here. But I want to share with you some principles today. There's four truths that I want to share with you about the providence of God in your life and my life. First of all would be this. We have the assurance that God is present and active in our lives. That's the first truth that I see in the story today. And that is God is present and God is active in our lives. I said when Paul was in prison here for those first 2 years, he wrote the book of Philippians. Let me share with you some of his thoughts from Philippians while he was under house arrest. Philippians chapter 4, listen to the words of Apostle Paul. I have learned to be content. Whatever state I'm in, I have learned to be content. Let me ask you a question this morning. Now listen to me. How fragile is your contentment? How fragile is your assurance? When things don't go the way that you want them to go, when the circumstances of life seem to go contrary to what we believe and what we hope for, and maybe our dreams are dashed, then how fragile is our contentment and how fragile is our assurance? Do we believe God? Now think about the providence of God throughout the Bible. Think about Ruth. Ruth found a kinsman redeemer in Boaz. Think about Joseph and what happened to him. He said, you know, you guys meant all this stuff that happened to me for bad, but God has worked it out for good. Think about Queen Esther. We just got through studying about Esther in Sunday school in a series. And look what happened in the life of Queen Esther, the providence of God. Look at the Apostle Paul here. Look at God's providence in his life. Folks, what we gain from the Bible is this. We gain an assurance that gives us contentment in life. It gives us assurance in the providence of God that God will take care of us. God is on the throne. God is in control. And so we see the providence of God. In Paul's life, what he saw was this. Through his imprisonment, through the shipwrecks, through the different places he went in life, through the doors that were open, through the doors that were closed to him, he saw the fingerprints of God in his life. Do you see the fingerprints of God in your life today? Folks, I want you to know God is active and God is present in our lives. That's one of the truths that we see here. Second truth that I want to talk about is this. We have the assurance that we're in God's care. And therefore, we can face the future confidently, knowing this, that nothing happens by chance. In the life of a believer, there's no such thing as happenstance or chance. You know why? Because God has a plan. Paul is living out what he wrote in 56 A.D., ever before, even, you know, a long time before he ever got here to Rome, in 56 A.D., he wrote the book of Romans. One of those great verses in Romans is Romans 8:28, "For I know that God is working together all things for our good, according to His purpose." You see, that's why we can face the future with confidence and assurance in the providence of God, knowing that He cares, knowing that He will take care of us, knowing that He has a plan for our lives. If our life is in the sunshine of our days, we can have assurance. During the storms of life that come our way, we can have assurance. Why? Because God's providence is in control. God knows, He understands, He cares, and we know that He wants the best for us. And so that's what Paul is living out here. Think about all these things that happened to Paul. And Paul said this, he says, I'm content. He said, this is God's will, this is God's plan, this is God's purpose, and I have confidence in His plan for my life. Are you ready to give up when maybe your plan doesn't go the way you want to? Are you ready to throw in a towel when the crisis comes? When the storm comes your way and you're just about to go under, what do you do? You see, here's an example of a man who put faith and confidence and trust in God, knowing that God's providence was in control of his life. It's just not chance. It's just not happenstance that these things happen. And then there's a third truth here. We have the assurance that we can pray, knowing that God hears and He acts upon the prayers that we pray. Now listen to this. In Psalm 84, verse 11, "The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly." You know what that is? That is a promise that God hears and answers our prayers. Let me show you from the life of Paul. In Acts 17:21, the verse that we talked about so often, God says, "Okay, Paul, you're going to go to Rome. You're going to get there." But look how he got there. He didn't get there the way that he thought he would get there. You know how he got there? He got there as a prisoner. He got there in chains, but he got to Rome. And so the prayer was answered, but it wasn't answered in the way that Paul thought. And so what the Lord told Paul was, he said, "Paul, what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you the desire of your heart." And Acts 23:11, God says, "Paul, I'm going to get you there, and I'm going to give you that desire." Years earlier, let me show you the desire of Apostle Paul. Listen to Romans chapter 1, verse 9. This is what he was praying about, okay? "For God is my witness, whom I serve, with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by some means now, at least, I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. What was his prayer? Years and years earlier, before he ever got to Rome, Paul's prayer was, God, I want to go to Rome. Paul was telling these folks here, these believers at Rome, he said, the desire of my heart, if it is the will of God, I want to come to Rome. And so that was his prayer. That's what he was asking God for. There was a place in the book of Acts where eventually you come to, where the Bible says that Paul, you know, he was making plans to go to Rome, and the Spirit of God stopped it. And he said, the Spirit of God forbade me to go to Rome. Why? Because it wasn't God's will. When we pray, we need to understand that the desire of our heart, if it's within the will of God, God answers that prayer every single time. And so we have the assurance that God answers our prayers. We have the assurance that God hears our prayers. And like I said, you know, the circumstances may not work out, but eventually the outcome that we desire within the will of God will come together for God's glory and His honor. There's a fourth truth that I want to talk about now, and that is this. We have the assurance we can face danger. We face persecution, suffering, difficulty, and that nothing will separate us from the love of God. That's what Romans 8 says to us. Listen to it here, Romans 8, 31. What then shall we say to these things? God be for us, who can be against us? Who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all? How shall he not with him freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died for us, furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Listen to it. Tribulation in your life? No, that won't do it. Distress in your life? No. Persecution in your life? Famine? Nakedness? Pearl? Sword? None of those things will be able to separate you from Christ. And then he says in verse 37, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. You're familiar with the word Nike? That's the word in the original. What it is Nike. And what it means is more than conquerors. It means overachieving conquerors. We are more than conquerors through Christ, is what he's saying. You see, belief in the providence of God gives us the assurance, the security, the peace. It gives us the assurance that we need to know that God is in control. And that's exactly what we see in the life of Apostle Paul. He knew God had a plan, God had a purpose, and God had a will for his life. You say, well, you know, I don't have much assurance today. I don't have any contentment in my life today. Let me just say this. If you are not a believer in God, the person who does not believe in God will never have true contentment in his or her life. Outside of God, there is no true contentment, peace, or security. He is our rock. He is our foundation. He is the one that we build our lives on. And so when the storms come, then our house is going to stand because He is our security. He's our portion. He's our stronghold. It is in Him. Now you see, through circumstance and all these things, what happens is this. God works in your life. If you want contentment in your life today, if you want security in your life today, then you need to put your faith in God. That's it. But see, here's how it works. You've got to open your life to Him. As long as you work against God, and as long as you work against what God wants to do in your life, as long as you don't open that door, you'll never have the contentment, peace, and security that He offers. No matter what comes in life, in the good days and the bad days, our security, our peace, our joy, our happiness is found in Him. Philippians is a book of joy. And over again, Paul tells us how much joy he had. Do you know where he was? He was in that prison. But in that prison, he found joy in the Lord. He found strength in the Lord. And folks, no matter what you're going through today in your life, I want you to know, you can find contentment, peace, security, joy in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's where it's at. It's not found anyplace else. It's found in Him. You see, contentment, the way our culture and world looks at contentment is this way. I can have contentment, I can have peace, I can have joy, I can have happiness, and I can have all these things, and it's based simply on things. But for the believer, that's not true. We may have the things, but we may not have the things. Things may work out, they may not work out, but we still have contentment, peace, and security. Why? Because our faith is in God. And He will take care of you. Open your heart to Him today. Let Him work in your life. Let's stand for our prayer. Father, we thank You today for Your Word. We thank You for the life of the great Apostle Paul. And Father, I know that in life we all have struggles and we all have difficulties. But what we have learned over and over again from the life of Paul is that from the very worst things in life that could happen, You can bring the very best. And Lord, I know that You're working in lives this morning. I pray, Lord, for each of us, that we would understand that You know what's best. I pray today that You would give us the assurance and confidence, that You would give us the security and peace that we need to know that You're in control. Your plan, Your will, Your purpose, the outcome of all of that is going to be best because You know what's best. Lord, today sometimes it gets hard, sometimes it gets difficult. Sometimes we really can't see an exit at the end of the road, but Lord, You know. And You know what the future holds. And so, Father, today we just thank You for Your providence. We thank You for Your grace. We thank You for the help that You give us in our lives. Lord, we need You. We need You in our life. And Father, today I pray for that person here today, that person who needs to find true contentment through peace and true security. I pray that they would put their faith and trust in You today. In Your name we pray. Amen.